just can't find that microwave light, no matter how hard I try.
Good morning, Linda Perkins.
Good morning, Marianne Myers. How are you?
I'm well. It's sunny. It's a sunny day. We're all giddy.
I want to go outside and make like sun angels.
Woo, let's figure that out right after the show. I'm just so, I'm besotted by the sunshine at this point, really. So I'm Marianne Myers. This is Linda Perkins here with me always, the voice of Food Talk. Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. And we're here to talk about home cooking. So I guess I moved to ask you what you've been cooking.
I have been baking, and I have been doing baking experiments. So this may be the geeky episode of Food Talk.
All right. We need to invite Beaker.
Yes. And Urkel.
Yeah. And so?
I had a surprise party for my dog.
I know. I got the invite and I could not come.
So my friend Diane took him overnight, and then we got a bunch of people there in the morning, and he came in surprise and he had a cake. And my friend Bonnie, he's 16. My friend Bonnie brought him a dozen roses because she says everybody needs roses on their 16th birthday. Isn't that funny? But I used the occasion to do pastry experiments. So recently I bought a cookbook. It's a little one. One you'd think would just be kind of a throwaway one, but I buy all cookbooks. I have a problem. And maybe it was called Biscuits and Muffins or Muffins and Biscuits, something like that. But the woman that wrote that says that you can make your biscuit dough and roll it into a slab, like you're going to cut the biscuits out the day before, and stick it in the fridge, and the biscuits will be just fine.
Oh.
Because I have always thought you can assemble the wet ingredients and the dry ingredients, then you mix them in the morning, but then you've got that big mess. And if you're going to have people over for your dog's 16th birthday surprise party, you've got a mess on your counter that you have to clean up that you don't want to. So I tried it, and it worked just fine. So I made my dough the day before, and it was almost 24 hours before. She says you can keep it up to 24 hours, so I just kind of wanted to test the limit.
These are like just baking powder biscuits or buttermilk biscuits?
They were buttermilk biscuits.
Okay.
And but for most of the biscuit recipes in her book, which are just pretty normal biscuits, she's just got a big, selection of them.
Yeah.
She says that. She says you can make the dough ahead of time.
Interesting.
Yeah, isn't that?
There goes that whole sense of urgency.
I know.
What a relief.
Well, and then, those biscuits I was talking about a while ago, there's recipes, I'm sure they're not new, but I'm just discovering them, where the biscuits are kind of laminated. They're that kind of, like layery. And those are harder doughs to make. It's not that they're like technical or anything. It's just that they take time because you're turning the dough like you would a croissant. So you can make that whole dough ahead of time, and then the time that you want to show a biscuit is something like Thanksgiving or something where you're doing 19 other things, and so you can just have that dough in a slab and you can cut them out and then have really showy biscuits for a special occasion, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, really.
And then the other thing I did is I made muffins. So when you bake professionally, it is common practice to hold muffin dough for a day, 2 days, several days. Like they have a big vat of it and then scoop them out every morning.
Right.
But that's not what cookbooks say to do. They all say for the home cook, if you're making a home muffin recipe, that if you let it sit, that the leavening is going to expire.
Right.
I was thinking about once you and I were making a ton of zucchini bread. Do you remember?
Yes.
And I was getting it made faster than we were getting it in the oven. And when the loaves of batter sat out for like an hour and a half, I mean, the quality was really compromised. The loaves were flatter. I mean, it was really true. So, and what is quick bread but, giant muffin?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I was trying to figure out what the difference was. And I think the difference is that you make the batter when you bake professionally and you get it in the fridge. I think it's the temperature.
I know it's the temperature.
Really? Okay. So I did three different muffin batters, with egg, without egg, with buttermilk, without buttermilk, all different things, and I did them the day before, and got them in the fridge, and even when I mixed in some frozen berries, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I've got that cooling it immediately. And when you cool it, you can hold it for at least a day. And I have in my kitchen done it several days.
Yes, I have too. I love that.
And that's really easy in the morning too. And I remember once I was baking biscuits, and I remember the recipe said, you know, I had the batter in the fridge overnight, and they said to bring it to temperature. And so I did, but then I wanted more muffins. It was muffins, not biscuits. Muffins than I had. And so I scooped some more out, and the ones that I scooped out cold, they domed higher than the ones that I didn't scoop out cold. And so see how this is geeky? It's all these different variables. I thought the thing that was going to matter for whether they were successful or not was egg, but I was very wrong. The egg had nothing to do with it for the holding it overnight. And they all worked. They all worked. Fruit in them, no fruit, you know, different flours. It's just, you just have to make the batter and get it cold.
Yep, get it in the fridge, and then you can scoop out every day. I have a really favorite bran muffin recipe that is basically make a vat of dough and bake it off whenever you feel like it, but you stick it in the fridge immediately.
Yeah, and a lot of people have bran muffin recipes like that, but I'm saying that all of them, all of the...
That's right.
That all of them, not just the bran ones. And then the only thing to remember is when you're scooping them out, don't stir the batter. Then you're just going to get rid of all the little bubbly lattice that's, you know, kind of in there. Don't stir it. Just scoop them out and plop them into your muffin tins. And then once I found by mistake, because there was a muffin recipe I made where you sprinkle raw sugar on the top.
Yeah.
And then I accidentally sprinkled the sugar on other muffins that, I mean, I don't know why I, you know, just like you follow a recipe, oh, get the sugar on the top, I'm going to put it on there. But I was like half asleep and I put it on the other muffins. And then those other muffins domed up a lot more than they normally did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so now I just put a little bit, like a big 2-finger pinch or a small 3-finger pinch of that raw sugar on top of my muffins. And it really helps the doming. I have no idea why. I cannot figure that one out, but it really seems to work.
All right. They like a little something sweet, like all of us.
Yes.
Hey, so I have a question that maybe on the Geeky Show, you probably Woo-hoo! Know the answer to this, because I am always mystified by this. When I watch Martha Stewart bakes,
yeah,
she always says, make sure your baking powder is fresh. And I'm like mystified by that. What the hell does that mean?
You know, I don't know, but baking powder is so important. Like, you know how like when British people bake so often they use, what do you call that?
Cream of tartar?
No, the self-rising flour.
Oh, right, right.
And the reason that they use that instead of just taking flour and mixing in baking powder is because they say it's mixed in so perfectly. And that not just the age, but that matters. I did an experiment where I just took like 3 cups of flour and like a teaspoon of cinnamon because it's dark brown.
Yeah.
And I sifted it like you were going to make a cake. And then, you know, it's not mixed then, but it's all really fine. And then I whisked it as often as I'd normally whisk in the baking powder. And that cinnamon was nowhere near incorporated. I mean, you have to whisk like a minute. I mean, like set your timer for 60 seconds to get it all mixed in. But I know like for the bake sale, if we use like because we'll buy... One year, we bought those giant, you know, thunder packs of baking soda and baking powder, and they lose their potency. And I think it's because part of what makes them activate, which would be, like, if they were activated, they would lose their potency because some of their their chemical, you know, specialness would be used up. So done with moisture and some with temperature. So if you have a long time and a day gets really hot, it's going to be affected. And hello, the climate we live in, there is moisture everywhere.
All the time.
Everywhere. And so both of those things, I think, are really kind of going to hack on it.
Although, I guess the mystery to me, it's not a mystery to me that if you have a box of bake, a box especially, mm-hmm. which is porous, mm-hmm. of baking soda on your shelf and it's you opened it 6 months ago and you haven't used it since. I get that.
Yeah.
But what I don't get is you can't really go to the store and buy fresh baking powder.
You know, it's true. You're right.
They're not dated and you have no way of knowing how long it's been there, but probably a long time.
But I think that once you break that seal, because I know if it's been sitting in my cupboard, certainly the baking soda, but also the baking powder turns to clay, you know, and it's because I think the moisture in the air and that's going to affect its potency. So, and then You know, like if I teach a baking class and I tell people to do something, like that sounds really bossy, but you know, why would I take the time in a recipe to write out an instruction or to say something if it wasn't true? Do you know what I mean? Why would I say let the dough rest for 20 minutes if it wasn't necessary? I'm not trying to jerk you around. You know, I'm not trying to waste your time. It makes the loaf taller. But when she says, you know, be sure to use fresh, she's got to have some experience behind that. And I know, like when they have TV shows that the channels, you know, the networks are they want everything to sound so simple so people aren't put off. So she's probably not allowed to spend the time and to, you know, maybe alienate people by going into a big long discussion of it. But it, why would she take the time to say it? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Although I just assumed that, you know, it's Martha Stewart. So she's, you know, clearly like completely obsessive. We know this about her.
Yeah.
So I think, okay, yeah, fine. All right, fine. So I'm always curious about that. I mean, yeah. If you buy a small can mm-hmm. of baking powder and you actually bake, mm-hmm. you're going to go through it in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't buy the giant ones because of that thing that you hear that they lose their potency, and it's such a small thing and such a small expense, the baking powder and the baking soda.
Yes.
But they are instrumental to the success. Oh, I made 5 carrot cakes, and this was not. This was within the last 12 months. I made 5 carrot cakes and I forgot to put baking soda in there. It was so sad. And so there's 2 things that baking soda does. One, it turns it not into a hockey puck. It makes it rise. And then the second thing in the oven, you know, it makes that oven spring. And the second thing it does is it makes it brown. So these cakes, they weren't browning. What the heck? They were in there as long as they're supposed to be. I stuck a thermometer in there and they were 200 degrees and they were just these blonde, dense. I mean, it wasn't even something I could pawn off on the husband as, it's a sweet Johnny cake, or, you know, just
rename
something
it and serve
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it just wasn't good. It was so sad.
Our no secret is out.
Bread pudding, nothing. There was nothing that could be done with it. It was just sad. Oh.
Oh, well, okay, that solves my mystery about what the heck with the fresh baking powder. I'm thinking, you know, I don't see people lining up on the baking aisle to buy baking powder, so I'm pretty sure that stuff's been sitting there for quite a while.
Yeah, especially in our teeny tiny town.
Yeah, exactly. So it isn't that. It's once you open it.
Well, and when I buy baking soda, you can't really tell with baking powder, but baking soda, I'll shake it because sometimes it goes clumpity, 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 yeah. And I don't want that box, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. And I always take it out of the box and put it in a plastic container that I can seal.
Because, oh, that's smart.
Because
I don't
do
the
that. Box doesn't, first of all, the box is porous.
Yeah.
And second of all, you open it up and then you can never really close it, right?
Yeah.
It's like a box of cornmeal. You can never really close it.
Yep.
So you either have to buy it in, I don't know, any you can't buy that stuff in bulk. But with cornmeal, I would opt to buy it in bulk and put it in a jar mm-hmm. as opposed to buy it in a box and hope for the best. Also, it turns out that bugs really like cornmeal.
Yeah, I buy it in the box because I like being able to shake it out because I use it on bread, you know, to dust things. But then I put it in a gallon Ziploc, zip, the whole box in a Ziploc.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
That works for the cornmeal.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. Hey, it's almost a quarter to 10 already. Linda.
Geeking out.
I know. I do want to remind folks that you are listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, where we are KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming at coastradio.org and on your mobile using the TuneIn app. What'd you cook for dinner last night?
Well, dinner last night, I really, really like these strips of... come on, Linda, use your brain. Oh, it's not working. Of short rib meat that you can buy.
Oh, right.
And
right.
I grilled some of those up and then I made a pasta salad. But it was really good because the sun was out. I was grilling and the sun was out. What?
Yeah, I know. I know it's distractingly gorgeous right now.
How about
now.
You?
I had one little New York steak and 2 people to feed. So I cut it into thin strips. We were on a strip thing last night.
I
guess you and
really
I.
That sounds really bad.
And marinated it in some really wonderful salsa that was a gift from my friend Joyce Senior. She brought back from Costa Rica.
Oh, wow.
And it is not salsa like we think of salsa being kind of a chunky, wonderful, really spicy thing. This comes in like a ketchup-like bottle.
Oh, really?
And it's got tamarind, and it's more of a thick and smooth consistency. Okay. And it makes a really nice marinade. So I marinated that, and we just had some soft tacos with grilled peppers and onions and, you know, and a fruit salad, because even though we are not into spring fruit yet, the sunshine makes me want to eat fruit.
Yeah,
fruit.
That's so totally fine.
Yeah. And right now the citrus is just spectacular. So many kinds.
Yeah.
All delicious. So, yeah. So that's all.
I did one more experiment.
What?
Because this is the Geek Show.
Yeah, what?
Okay, so there's a woman named Lorraine. I don't even know her last name, but she's on TV, and I always see her as a judge on, like, the food competition and pastry shows.
Oh.
She's British. And but when I went home to Minnesota, my mom's cable provider has a show that she does.
Oh.
And it's about pastries. And I have noticed this before, that when on British shows, when they make bread, what they do is they make a dough, they form it into a loaf, they stick it in a pan, they do a single rise, and then they bake it. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not what we do here. It takes a lot longer here.
It's a half a day project.
Yeah. So I started thinking, you know, what can be the great difference between the first rise and second rise that it's just fine for everybody in Great Britain? So first, you know, I can't remember if I talked about this, that no need bread.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh yeah, because you brought some for us as thank you gifts, did you not?
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
We talked very briefly during pledge drive. We mostly just talk about money.
I know. But did I talk about how I just let the loaf rise for 25 minutes instead of 2 hours? Okay. So first with the bread, normally you let it rest for 15-20 minutes on the board, you let it rise for 2 hours, you turn your oven on, you let it rise for another half an hour, and this is all after you've shaped the loaf, and then you bake it. And so instead, I let it sit on the board for 5 minutes, and I let it rise for 25 minutes, and it was just fine.
That bread was so fabulous.
Thank you.
But crumb is really great.
Yeah.
Mean, everything.
And maybe there was at most a 10% difference in the crumb, like it was maybe 10% less holy and porous. But it was a difference that you would have to be looking for to notice, you know? So then for the dog's 16th surprise birthday party, I made brioche. And I made it three different ways. And then what I did was brioche, first you let it rise, and then you punch it down. And then you sit it in your fridge overnight and you let it rise. And then you punch it down after 4 to 12 hours. So you've let it rise for 2 hours, and you've let it rise for 14 hours. And then you shape it into whatever you're going to do, and you let it rise a third time, and then you bake it. My God. Okay, so what I did was...
How bad do we want brioche?
I just made my my brioche dough, and then I rolled it out, and I shaped it into cinnamon buns and sticky buns, and then that loaf of blueberry bread. And I put those all in the fridge, covered loosely with saran wrap, and slowly they rose overnight. And I also, and this is bad science, I put less yeast in than I normally would because I didn't want to get out of bed early. So they weren't quite as risen as I wanted. So I just let them go a little bit more, put them in the oven, and they were good. So instead of three rises, I did one, and it was fine.
And I wonder what the theory was about all that extra time. Because I can't imagine, you know, brioche is a hot ticket in restaurants around everywhere for the last, you know, whatever. And I can't imagine that they're doing a three-rise brioche. I don't see how they possibly could.
Yeah, well, and maybe if they overnight it, but
yeah,
but it's just, it was just fine, and the crumb was maybe even a little finer, which is just fine. But I thought that it would be all like deflaty and not sturdy, and the structure was just fine. And so I understand letting a dough go for a while to develop some flavor. You got a lot of yeast farts in there, so it's a little more fermented, but it was just fine.
Huh. All right. This is so good to know.
I know.
For people who think they don't have time to make bread.
Yeah. So it was morning. I mean, there were people at my house at 10 o'clock, and I had jammers, which are, it's from the Central what's that bakery in Grand Central Bakery cookbook. So they're essentially halfway between scone and biscuit, and then you make a well in the middle and you put jam in and bake them. So I did that dough overnight. And in the cookbook, she specifically says you can assemble the dry ingredients before and the wet ingredients and then put, no, it works to do the dough. So I did those in the morning, and then I had cinnamon buns and sticky buns, and then the blueberry bread. I had three different kinds of muffins, and it worked just great. And all that, you know, not getting out of bed early, just popping stuff in the oven.
That's amazing. Oh. So I want to know about this buffet. I mean, really, any protein whatsoever?
No, I was going to make bacon, but then I didn't want to.
What did your 16-year-old dog eat? Because he didn't get to be 16 by eating muffins and blueberry bread.
No, that's really true. They had little peanut butter treats.
Aww.
So another thing that I learned, and I didn't experiment with, but in reading about muffin batter, is everybody says that you can make muffin batter, and I haven't tried this. I wonder if you have. And then you can put the raw muffin batter into your little papers in your tin, put it in the freezer raw, and then take them out of the tin and put them in a Ziploc bag once they're solid. And then when you want muffins, just take them out and bake them. They say it takes 5 or 10 minutes more, but they're perfect.
Wow.
Everybody says that. And I haven't tried it, so maybe I'll try that this week.
Yeah, report back to us on that.
But that's kind of cool, huh?
I don't bake that much because there's only 2 people in my household.
But 2 muffins.
Well, yeah, that would be how to do it, because making a batch of muffins just means that I'm going to eat a batch of muffins.
Well, and then you got to have muffins when you make, even if you keep it in the fridge, you got to have muffins every day for 4 days. Yay.
Yeah. Although I got to say, you know, sliced muffins that are then grilled like French toast.
That and cornbread. Mm.
Yeah, no kidding. That's very good. That's very good. Leftover polenta. Oh, I like any of that stuff for breakfast, you know, grilled with a little butter and
Okay, now you talk. I did all the talking.
Well, we've solved all the problems about bread at home, which I don't make anymore because, frankly, there you go again, a whole loaf of bread for 2 people. We don't eat bread every single day. Mm-hmm. So I know if I were really organized, I would buy a really good loaf of bread or make a really good loaf of bread and put half of it in the freezer. But that requires me to, you know... Mm-hmm. I'm not going to.
If I put it in the freezer, I slice it first so I can use it for toast. Because really, that's how you want bread that's been in the freezer. Or I have a Ziploc bag of cubed bread, and then I just take it out, and then I make croutons when we have a salad. And that's a luxury, you know? That's just really, really good, having homemade croutons.
That's like a dish of supreme d'oranges.
Yes.
Or a bowl of seeded watermelon cubes or something. That is so luxurious. But that's really smart, because that's the thing about a half a loaf of frozen mm-hmm. bread, is that if you have to thaw it out and slice it, you know, it'll just be in my freezer for bloody ever.
Because it just takes too much time.
That's right.
To thaw it. When you think of it, I want croutons. Oh, but not in an hour and a half.
Yeah, exactly. And they're better with that old bread. So what a brilliant idea.
I love that idea. Thank you.
I also discovered recently something I'm sure everyone else knows, which is that you can freeze citrus zest.
No, I've never tried.
Well, we had some left over from a cooking class at the Food Web, some lime zest, and put it in a little snack size resealable bag and tossed it in the freezer just to see, and it was fine.
Really?
Yeah, there
so
you go.
So it didn't get all decrepit or weird or
no, and it didn't, but it was lime zest. It didn't turn black or anything. It wasn't lemon zest. I haven't tried it with a lighter color that might turn something unattractive, but it was perfectly fine and still tasted very zesty.
Okay, right on. Yeah. I'll buy sometimes like a thunder pack of limes just because they're so cheap, you know, per pound then. And then I just juice them all and then put the juice in the freezer because I use it a lot. So
I think that lime juice is underrated outside of cocktail hour. Mm-hmm. We don't use as much of it. We tend to defer always to lemon, mm-hmm. and often lime is so much tastier.
I really like it in coleslaw. Georgia Schroed taught me that. but I really like it in coleslaw.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
In the dressing or just squeezed over?
So, so it's mayonnaise,
yeah.
A little bit of sugar, and lime juice. So it's, so the proportion is probably a cup of mayonnaise, maybe 3 tablespoons of sugar, a quarter cup or so of lime juice, and then at least a tablespoon of celery seeds and a teaspoon of black pepper. And then just mix that up. And boy, howdy, it's good. And when you have apple, like just apple match sticked up in your coleslaw.
Yeah,
all you need then is shredded cabbage, and it's really, really good.
And so the lime juice is taking the place of the cider vinegar. More traditional, but that sounds really good.
It is. It's really springy.
Yeah. And it's really good sandwich spread, that dressing, I think. Coleslaw dressing is really good if you're having especially a meat sandwich or even a sharp cheese and veg sandwich. Coleslaw dressing, very delicious.
Okay.
So.
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
I think also a lot of other kinds of like romesco and that kind of thing where you know, it's so all purpose and so delicious and you can keep it in the fridge for days and you can use it for everything. I mean, it's traditionally spread on crostini or you dip roasted veg in it, but it's really good on pasta and it's fabulous spread on bread for sandwiches. It's just so good. There is a romesco recipe on the website at northcoastfoodweb.org.
Okay.
It's one of my faves, and it's just an easy thing because everything that needs to be roasted goes on the same little sheet pan in the oven.
Yeah.
And then it comes out and gets processed.
Okay.
So really simple. Yeah, really simple and really delicious. I'm going to Spain in the fall, and I'm so
really?
Excited because
oh
it's
my
the home
gosh.
Of romesco. And I think romesco is like so many other kinds of all-purpose ethnic foods where everybody in that ethnicity has their own version of it.
Yes, yes.
So I can't wait to eat a million kinds of romesco and report back.
I'm so excited.
I don't know that they use hazelnuts in it theirs as much as we do here. They have almonds and...
In our family, they're nasal huts.
They are. How appealing. Oh, my gosh. So what are we looking forward to this week?
Wow. I don't know, because that party was just a couple days ago, and I just wore my ovens out.
Yeah.
I think it's grilling. Well, okay, so I'll tell you the truth. I had lunch with David Weber. My God, is he a good cook. And so...
I did not know that about David.
Oh my God.
So...
He is the only person I know in Astoria who has more cookbooks than me. He has 800.
What?
Yes. Yes. And the only reason...
He needs to be teaching
the
some
only reason
classes.
He's friends with me is because his wife would not let him buy the modernist cuisine, and I have it, and he comes to my house to read it. Because it's a book that is 50 pounds. Yeah. So anyway, there is that method of cooking sous vide where you seal something, you vacuum pack something. I just squeeze all the air out of a heavy Ziploc, and that's how I do it. And then you put it in a water bath in this machine that keeps it at a very constant temperature. And so I really am not a giant fan of just regular pork loin, you know, pork chop meat, that sirloin roast on pork, that big part of the pork. And just because it's always kind of okay, but it's never great.
Yeah.
And he says, if you sous vide it, it is great. And so that's what I'm going to try.
All right.
So that is my plan for the coming week is to do something. Because I have like a couple of those giant loins in my freezer. And the freezer doesn't do many favors either. So that makes it even extra worse. Extra awful.
Extra worse.
Yeah.
That's, I'm guessing, pretty bad.
Oh, now they're going to call in. She said extra worse.
She said extra worse. And, you know, nasal huts.
Yes. What you doing this week?
I'm sure I'm cooking, but I can't for the life of me think of what it might be at this point. But the sunny weather makes me want to cook things that are not wintry.
Yes.
And so we're in that very weird cusp place where, and we know that the sun isn't going to last.
It's the only time of year I yell, yay, no gravy.
That is cause celeb.
Yes.
Really. That is. Yes. And I could do for a whole week without a root veg, but not that I don't love them, but really, have we eaten the very heck out of them for months? Yes, we have. But it's a little early, although there's been some spectacular asparagus available from sunnier climes and a few things like that that make you, you know, hold out hope that spring really will come, even
though they're not lying.
We always have this thing where we run out and plant all our veg right now, and then 3 weeks from now we're so embarrassed. So it's kind of standard. We have run out of time. It's 10 o'clock straight up. Thank you so much.
No more gravy. Yay.
No more gravy. Yay. Stay tuned and thanks and have a great day.